and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
Sit down. I'll show you something. Put up for me the principles of conflict resolution, conflict escalators, conflict. Let me touch that. For example, look at where you find so many in the kingdom trapped. Offenses come up as people relate. Issues come up. Sometimes things come up. How you know a covenant man? Watch this. Jesus said to me, this is a principle you must learn. How you know a covenant man? He's offended. He doesn't understand. He has questions. He doesn't know what it is. He goes to you. Once you are a coward, you can't talk to the person. And you say he's your offender or offended you. Let that case go because he can bury you. Covenant does not mean I love you. No, covenant means you can talk to your brother. That's what you did. I was not happy about it. Don't talk to the person. Talk to the person. Anti-covenant practices. This is what is crippling the prosperity of Zion. Don't go as if he's a weak God. Let me give you a secret. When you read the old covenant, this is the condition for blessing, prosperity, anything you want to get from it. If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to do what he says, to all that. And what is it? Ten commandments. And all those other laws that Moses gave them. If you come to the new covenant, you will find the same statement. If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, the difference is, it's not Ten Commandments, it is now love. It is faith working by love that delivers the goods in the new covenant. Because when I talk about grace, sometimes I focus on the aspect of faith for unlocking the riches of grace. But yet, it is faith that works by love that brings the goodies, the blessings that unlocks the wealth of the new covenant. If we have issue, it comes up in marriage. Call your wife, sit down. That thing you did, how can you have done that? Then when you finish, and hear her response. Because sometimes the way you perceive things is OP. Satan's business is manipulation of perception. Keeps distorting people's perception. What is good for you? He can make it evil. Look at what he did in the garden. He just turned. That God, you see, God doesn't want you to eat this thing because he doesn't want you to be like God. There's something he's hiding for you. He has just kept it to himself. If you eat it now, you'll be like him. What it simply means, is it that God is cheating on us or what? Some other wise man in 21st century will say, okay, why did he even create it and put it there in the garden? After all, the lady went and ate it. There is a simple law in covenant. Okay, I have heard, Mr. Devil. God will be here in the evening. God, I heard. You just don't want us to grow. What have we done to you to deserve this? You put that tree. It's only you and the angels that enjoy it. And you kept us here. Is that true? So you can get the other side. If you don't get the other side, your perception is distorted. You can get angry. God doesn't call it a sin until all your conclusion is based on your anger. You can be offended. That's not where God calls it sin until all your conclusion is based on your offense. Talk to the person. Master this thing. If you see the way prosperity, if you see the way this world will be entering into your hand, you'll be shocked. You know that this God is not a joker. You know that this thing is not a joke. This book is not something some group of men crafted and invented religion. It's not something some group of men crafted, an invented religion. Matthew chapter 18. Turn to it. This is conflict resolution principles in the kingdom. It applies in marriage. It applies in pastoral ministry. It applies in church. It applies in society. It applies everywhere. God does not permit brethren suing each other, but he permits brethren confronting each other. Be careful of those people who come to tell you, did you hear? If somebody tells you, did you hear? Go to the person he said that about and said, this is what I heard. Did you do this? Did you say this about me? Don't leave it as I'm building castle on falsehood. And warn the person who is telling you, be ready to come when I bring him. If by the time I talk with him alone, he says, I'm sorry, my brother, forgive him. That is the end of it. But if he says, he's first, bring in the guy. If the guy said, I can't talk if he's present, that is Satan inside the church. I don't care whether he has new tongue, he's talking in tongue, or he's a pastor. That's a demon, a little demon, ordained demon in the church. The law of love is what holds the new covenant. The law of faith is what operates the new covenant. Anybody, next year is a year for covenant. You're going to operate covenant. This is the key. I'm not telling you stories now. I'm telling you God's word for the end time. And the covenant is a revelation for the last days. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 15. If your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What? Alone. This is why it's an atrocity for you to carry your wife or your husband and be running around town talking to people in church. Your husband. Hey, sit down with him and talk. Anytime you talk to a second person about another person in the kingdom, and what you are talking about, you have not discussed it with the person. The covenant has been broken, like those two stones. You carried it and broke it into pieces. You can't even go to an unbeliever, including your father or mother. Love covers a multitude, not little. Multitude of faults, multitude of sin. Do you know that where sin abounds, grace much more what? If somebody is offending, enlarge your grace capacity. Because that's what God is doing with you. Now, is that license to go and sin? No. Law of love, it can bring you down. Because you remove the foundation, there's nothing else holding you. It's only one thing that has power to tamper with this whole covenant, is this issue of love. You're wiser than the Bible. Go ahead. When we finish the race, you will see the mile. And if you care, it's not that you don't correct your ways. Yet the same thing sends you to hell. The only thing that sends a believer to hell is this issue. Because it tampers with God's ability to forgive you when you have offended. It blocks grace. Grace can function. You might not even live long. Because it opens door to tormentors, demonic affliction. It could collect you on the road. They could do anything. Talk to the person, not to another person. You see people who will go home and carry the church and be discussing. If people are discussing their pastor, discussing the church, their father, their brothers, and a lot of them are not born again, they are hearing that. If you see a man, a lady, her brothers and sisters have so much respect for the pastor. They are not in the church. Oh. They may not be Christians. Sometimes they are in other churches. Her parents have so much regard for the pastor. That person is the ambassador of that ministry at home. That's what we are all supposed to be doing. He said, hold your pastor. esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. The office they're occupying is not the man, it's the office. Esteem him very highly in love. What happens in that family? After a while, you find the brothers and sisters without much push, get born again, join the system. You see this one. If you see when you're discussing the ministry, you have heard, there are some people, certain things, you see their mother, it will come. I've had such cases. He said, I came to see you, Pastor. Is this my son? Or, if you see the mother of John and James coming to see you, there has been strife in the city, and they have carried it home. The contention is who will be the greatest, and these two politicians have taken it home. Jesus dealt with them and dealt with their mother. Watch those families. When somebody is sick, they call you. If you lay hands, it's like laying hands on stone. Nothing will flow. If you like, cry, the one that will die will still die. Why? The level of virtue you draw from a man of God is determined by the level of honor you have for that office that he occupies. What they have done is that they've destroyed the honor and the regard of that man at home. So, no matter what it is, their baby will die. That this one is happening. Come, you lay hands, it's nothing. Because anytime you do that, you hinder Christ from his ability to win Nigeria. Especially the unbelievers, the northerners, the Muslims, and then more, the young ones that are in the faith, you raise confusion in their hearts. That's why there are families, certain children will tell you, they have never seen their mom and their dad quarrel. That doesn't mean they didn't. And there is a law, she knows, if you come out, you can never talk to the kids about your father or your mother in a negative sense. You destroy their ability to honor, and you cause their life to die before their time. You hinder them from prospering by the way they should. A ministry gift, it's an abomination to discuss pastors with congregation. In the covenant, it's an abomination to discuss a fellow Christian with an unbeliever. You see, there is the eldership. Eldership. You don't discuss a pastor with brethren. You don't. Issues about the priesthood are trashed out by the priesthood. And you don't discuss a Christian with an unbeliever. It's an abomination. According to the scripture, those are some of those times that the scripture will use words like this. You are worse than an infidel. Don't believe I. Many people will not do it. Go to him. Go tell him his fault. You know, there are people who will never tell you things are going on. They will never. Then let it go. If you can't let it go, go and talk about it. If you can't talk about it, then let it go. If you can't let it go, go and talk about it. If you can't talk about it, then let it go. You have no other option. The other option is open it up, but with the person. If you can't, then forgive. Let it go. But you see, the people who don't discuss, who don't go to talk, they keep piling. And this thing develops. That's why the Bible says, lest any root of bitterness. Bitterness takes root. It grows in their emotion. It grows in their soul. It becomes a tree. He said, thereby many be defiled. Then he said, lest there be any profane person as Esau. Two things he said he forbids. Okay, Hebrews. Stay here because we are coming back. Hebrews chapter 12. From verse 14. This is love. 14. Follow peace with all men and with holiness, without which what? No eye shall see the Lord. How many of you want to make heaven? Take this scripture seriously. How many of you want to see Jesus? Take it seriously. Stop playing with God's word. I spent time yesterday to let you understand the authority of the scriptures. Follow peace with all men
and with holiness. Now, out of these two elements, which one sends more people to hell is the follow peace part, not even the holiness part. Do you know why the holiness part sends less people? Because any offense against God, that is what that side is talking about, when you have sinned against God. The other one is talking about you and your brother. It's those law of love, the vertical side and the horizontal side. Now, any offense against God, the blood of Jesus or grace can take care of it if the man repents. If the man confesses it, God can't hold it against him. You will never find that. God loses all his moral authority if he can hold one thing against one sinner that has said, I'm sorry. Now, the few people that go to hell on the basis of this are people who refuse to repent. With all they've done for God, they still will not repent. If I say, I'm sorry, Lord, I did this, forgive me. That is it. He is faithful. He is also just. The just side is that Jesus has already suffered for this thing. God will be unjust not to forgive it. That one is a settled thing. There are few people that go to hell because of this. Majority, there is a third group. Those are the ones that refuse to receive Christ. These are unbelievers. But we're talking about the kingdom. The people that went to hell because they committed some offense against God are very few. They refuse to repent of their wrongdoing. Here is where most of the problem is. That's what he said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Therefore, hell has enlarged its borders. Their pomp, their big men, their honorable men shall descend into it. How can my people be going to hell? Now, here is where the problem is the part of their dealings with men. Follow peace with all men and with holiness. In other words, a simple way to live a Christian life: live in peace with your brothers and sisters and live in peace with your God. Simple. You make peace with your Creator when you give your life to Christ, but you maintain that relationship by living a holy life. And anytime you have offended, you bring the blood, you repent, and the blood cleanses you. Simple. Paul said, this is the law that he lived his life by. He lives his life by. I've made it a principle to maintain a conscience devoid of offense towards God and towards men. I won't offend God and I won't offend people. And if I do, I will go to people, do reconciliation. I will go to God and do reconciliation. Simple. That is how to live rapture ready. If rapture blow, you start getting ready, it's too late. That's how to live ready. Don't have issues of love, problem with that area, and you are safe. Paul says, some holding faith, some have made shipwreck of their faith by ignoring conscience. Because you see what it is. When you offend God, the thing reports here. Why did they report? So you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. When you have issue with your brother, he's also reports here. Why does he report it? So you can go to him and say, you know, please forgive me. Keep a conscience void of offense. You will have the highest level of faith in oppression. Void of offense towards God. Amen. I have entered into vow and covenant with God. Not today, but I renew it every year as I begin a new ministry year. I place my hand on my heart. I renew it. That of all he brings under my leadership and you know, I will do everything in my power. Not only to help them make it here, live a good life here, but that they will be able to enter glory with a shout. Just like a shout of archangel is what will usher Christ in. It's a shout of joy that will usher us in into his presence. Because we're not going to meet Jesus afraid, intimidated. You know, the coming of Christ is just like if your husband travels and you are in love. As he's coming, you are screaming, he's screaming, the kids are screaming. You see, when I come home, the kind of commotion that happens as we drive through the gate. Joshua is running, me and, you know, and all of that. And then All of them are running out. And when we, all the shout comes down, they start looking for what you did. We're going to settle down to receive crowns and get rewards for what we have done. I'm going to get a well done. Nobody can stop me from getting it. I've made up my mind. I've also asked God to help me just to model that life for you. That's my greatest prayer for myself in ministry. It's not about anointing, because it comes. If you walk in love, the Bible said the Holy Spirit, I and my Father, will come and tabernacle with you. You won't fight much about anointing. The greatest hindrance to the oil is strife. The greatest hindrance to your faith is strife. For example, look at 15 and we'll look at 16. I want you to see it. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. What is this thing that cripples grace? Lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, thereby many be. Anti-covenant practices suspends grace. It cripples. There is grace for everything you need in the kingdom. This is the one thing. When you are not walking in love, you are falling from grace. You remove yourself where God can help you. It's a dangerous place to be. Let's look diligently. And this is an area, that's why I've said you have to keep teaching it. And other people need to rise and keep teaching it. Because it's an area. It's an area. It's an area. Oh. It's a life and death area. It's a prosperity and poverty area. It's a rise and fall area. Looking diligently. Lest any man, fail of the grace of God. How? Root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. And there are many be defiled. If a man that carries this is a leadership, is more, that man is like a leper or a man that has HIV that is sleeping with people anyhow. If a man in pulpit is bitter, he is a troubled water carrying disease that is going to spread to people. 16. Now watch the second part. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. An example of a fornicator is Esau. An example of a profane person is Esau. I thought Esau only ate a porridge. No, go back and read. They said Esau found daughters of the land. Those women of Canaanites that God warned Abraham's descendant never to meddle. He went and started marrying them. And they said those women were a torture, a thorn in the flesh, in the life of Isaac and Sarah. Isaac and Rebecca. When Rebecca cried, because those ladies, they don't understand, they don't respect mother-in-law, they don't respect, they don't care about elders, they don't, these are unbelievers. That's what he means into the, you know, that's the kind of ladies that Esau sleep with. Now, his birthright did not matter, that Abraham, this thing is going to come through him, that he cannot pollute the lineage. He didn't bother. He said, when he saw that these women were trouble to Rebecca, you know what he did? He went for a second group of wives. He went to Ishmael's, whatever, to get. Can you imagine what is wrong with this guy? Then he gets to a birthright issue. So what is that to me? Give me porridge, I'm hungry. Profanity. Esteeming material things more than spiritual things. Esteeming immediate gain more than your inheritance, your birthright. I watch Abraham where he had issues with Lot. There is strife. No. Lot, look at the land. Whichever side you like, take. We will see whether the wealth comes from the whatever you're looking on. Take anywhere. This elder, this young guy, anywhere, right there, any side you like, take. Lord, look, he saw all the plains of Jordan, that they were all green, looking. He said, yeah. All this side, that's my own. Abraham said, good. After Lord has, God came and said, now, my friend, you're walking in love. Look to the left, to the east, to the south, to the north. everywhere your eyes can see, including where he is, I've given it to you. Just a couple of months down the line, Lot has lost everything. Captured, even him was lost. His wife lost. All of them are out in slavery, captured with chain. Strife removes protection. Strife hinders prosperity. Kenneth Copeland said, the world doesn't know why the Crofodolas are blessed. He said, we have made covenants to stay with the law of faith and the law of love, because that is the key to the new covenant. We have made covenants to stay with it, because they believe in high standards. They hold each other accountable. But outside, it says hidden must never be allowed to judge God's people. He said, before a person here can do that, a person must break this covenant that he doesn't submit to this thing, accountability. Then we can let him go. Let's set and let him submit to Satan, see how he feels. There are three people you never attack. You don't attack spiritual fathers. You don't attack natural fathers. You don't attack your father. You don't fight a covenant brother. The covenant also forbids father fighting sons. He doesn't allow it. Three people you never fight. I want to repeat it. You never fight a father. You never fight a brother. You never fight your son. When you fight a father, you die for it. Like Absalom. Like Judas. Like all the others. When you fight a son, you lose honor for it. Any bishop you know, any man of God you know, I get into those fights with the son, his respect goes, his honor goes. The public, sir. So what do you do? Battle with sons. If they finish correcting, he won't change. Delegate it to another son. That's why God delegated Lucifer to Michael. How will you have love to read? And God and Lucifer, they were fighting in heaven. They were fighting over two. And Lucifer gave God sword. And God got up again. And God now gave Lucifer final slap. So he fell from heaven. When you finish reading it, how much respect will you have for him? You know, when a young man thinks he can beat his father, give him a young man like him. When Lucifer met Michael, who ran? He had gods to challenge your creator. Michael lost all his respect for him. He used to be the army general. That was what happened to Absalom. The whole Israel loved him. The moment he went against David, Joab and those army guys, they cut off his head. Even though David even asked them not to kill him. The army of Joshua said, that is the only time covenant brothers are allowed to fight covenant brothers. The authority comes from the father. Did you notice in the army of Israel, when they did what they did, Moses came down. He said, who is on the Lord's side? They came. He said, take your sword against your brother. I think it was 23,000 people that died that day. Then when you fight a covenant brother, you suspend all of all the protection and rewards of the covenant. You suspend it, starting with protection. You suspend all of those things. But there are cases where brothers just look for trouble. In raising your family, operate this thing. Operate it. You don't fight. What do you do? Report the case to the father or report the case to a higher authority. Now let me tell you what happens. The only time in the Bible God said the battle is not yours when it was a battle of brothers. All the battles that God and the children of Israel ever won, all of them, both parties fought. You will see them fight and God will back them. There was even not one city in the promised land that God went and fought and told them to come and possess. Not one. They will fight, God will back them. You will find one battle where God went and said, go ahead, go to sleep, I'll fight for you. It only happened once in the whole Bible. People came to God and said, this is the problem we are having. And God said, what is it? He said, our brothers, the children of Moab, the children of Mount Seir, have come against us. They have all ganged up against us in battle. If you have read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, how many of you have heard about Jehoshaphat? Who are the children? Children of Moab are descendants of Lot. Children, those from Mount Seir, the Edomites, are descendants of Esau. These are brothers of Israel. When the nation of Israel was coming out of Egypt, they saw those nations. They were on their way to the promised land. God said to them, these are your brothers. You can't possess their land. You can't fight them because I will get them to defeat you. I will fight against you. I will not take side. You will not fight them. Not even an inch of their property will I give you. It's outlawed by the covenant. He mentioned those three nations, descendant of Esau and the two descendants of Lot. He said, they also fought giants and I gave them this land. And I will help you take your own land. Leave them alone. And they did. He said, if you ask them for water, they don't give you. No problem. Keep going your way. Or pay money to buy it. Afternoon, when people are at work, a young man is asleep in his father's house. That's madness. What about evening? What about evening now? Days are coming. Some of these people won't be as healthy, as strong as we are. You will be sitting down and enjoying all your labor. Yeah. There is no son in this family. It will be abomination. A son in this one that serves faithfully, that will ever leave this place empty-handed. It's not possible. You see people who are fighting over equipment and all that because they've left the real inheritance. They left birthright, fighting for porridge. Okay, let's end it. Verse 17. Let's end it. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This part broke my heart. One year I cried where I was studying and reading this. I said, Lord, what is going on? How can you do this? If this guy repented with tears like this at the latter end, why? He said, I think this is a way to say it. It's a parable. Repentance has no value in the grave. Repent before the D-Day. Repent before the judgment day. Because that day, tears are not recognized. It's too late. Too late. Matthew chapter 18. Let's go back to it. You see, if you see the kind of wealth that will start, these next 10 years is our prime time in this ministry. You see, this next 10 years that is coming is actually 14 years. According to God's word, it's 2 weeks. It's our prime time. We cannot play with this next 14 years. See all this thing we've been doing? Rehearsal. Rehearsal. It's our prime time in this ministry. Now, in these years, just between 2010 and 2012, God said to me, I'm going to raise in this place men that will be controlling wealth. You see, by the time Nigeria will be getting ready to do the next transition. I'm not talking about 2011, 2015. When you come here, if you see the amount of millionaires that we will be talking about in the system, if you see the amount of men that have heavy substance in different fields that you'll be dealing with, in that 2015, we'll have a lot of people from here who will be contesting for different things all over Nigeria. How can somebody throw it away? Because somebody said strife or that. Look at it. Go to your brother. Talk to him between you and him alone. Everyone say the word alone. Then if he shall hear thee, that has gained your brother. Philistines. And you people finish talking, everybody, oh, that's it. That's the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to produce reconciliation. Reconciliation is a little harder when you have brought in, you have gone to talk to other people and all of that. This is the first level. But there are people who are very stubborn. We have them in Zion. Even when you have talked with them, they are not ready to. God understood that. So he gave us second level, verse 16. If you will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Let me tell you what this means. The second level did not say, go and talk to one or two more. That's not what he said. What he said is, set a second appointment with the same guy, but bring in one or two people as witnesses. You don't go talk to people about your wife or husband, or about a brother. You talk to your brother and let two other people judge. Because I have also found that sometimes the person that is accusing is the one that is wrong. And at the end of the day, who is supposed to apologize? You are the one that is supposed to be apologized because you have just accused another person of what he didn't do. And you've been, yes. Now, God said, didn't say, go talk to two other people about the person. Anti-covenant practices. He didn't say, talk to other people about the person. He said, if you have talked with him and there is still conflict, nobody's whatever, then invite one or two others to come and mediate. And as at this point, the purpose is still reconciliation. Because what he means is that this thing has broken down between two of you. So you invite him. And the scripture specify who the two or three other will be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 said, it can even be one of the least among the church. Find people within the body who can do it. If you can't find people within the body, you are not allowed to take it to unbeliever. Your father is not born again. You can't take your wife to him. Even if your father is born again, he's a baby Christian. You can't take your wife to him. Neither can you report your husband to him. He said, I'm going to report you to my in-laws, your father. You have pastors, you have people that are matured in the faith, that are in the church, that are in the fellowship. Find them. Anti-covenant practices. The only covenant we are given, this is it. Faith and love. That's what we are violating. So it's going to rob many people of the hope of eternal life, the hope of the resurrection. This thing we call rapture and all that. It's going to rob many people of it. Apart from the fact that it's robbing them of all of the wonderful things that God has provided in life. He said, this is the new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. The same John that wrote that in John 13 verse 35. Goes in the epistles of John. He said, a new commandment I write unto you. Yet not new, but that one that Jesus gave before. And he said, this is the commandment. That you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. There are two. Faith too is a commandment. And love one another as I have loved you. That in the mouth of two, every word may be established. A believer that has not followed this cannot even think divorce. Cannot think. After this, there is a third level. He refuses. Even with all the intervention of these two guys, he refuses to hear. Look at the final level. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. That's when you take it to the authority of the church. I also want to warn every one of you, because I know many of you don't respect the body of Christ. You have reduced the church to you. It means nothing. But yet, heaven said the church is the fullness of him that fills all things. The church carries an authority of Christ on earth. You see how people play? The whole authority of the risen Christ is with the church. And people play with the church. He said, if you neglect to hear it, take it to the church. If they neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto you like a heathen. From that day, treat him like he's not a covenant brother. The authority of the church, don't play with it.
I know many of you are not properly trained. Just like you play with your parents. Is it when our soldiers suffer bullet wound, we finish them up with our own? Who told you? When you sin, the pastors help you restore. When the pastor sin, why will you fire him? Are you mad? You are holier than God. Is it not the same blood that saved you that saved him? Tell it to the church. Everyone say, tell it to the church. Tell your friend, don't let anybody report you to the church. Tell him, but even if you get to that point, it's still not a problem. As long as that your ear can hear word. Anytime a person will not listen to the church, the kingdom of God does what is called judicial expedition. They transfer him to Satan. He has gone beyond where covenant can protect him. It's like American government can't protect you anymore. So they hand you to that foreign power. Go and deal with Al-Qaeda. Answer. Go to their own court and answer. So you understand where, how wicked some of these are. Because you are here where there is freedom. You don't know the value. Go and face charges with Satan. Let Satan accuse you. Some translation will write, talking about, he said, let Satan stand at his right hand. That's what they did to Judas. He said, let Satan stand at his right hand to accuse him. When he is condemned and tried, let him be found guilty. That his sins will not be forgiven, not for him, nor for his children's children. Have you read the judgment that was given over Judas? How many of you have read it? Psalm 109, there are two records of it. What did Judas do? Ate communion, entered into covenant with Jesus, went behind and betrayed him. Betrayal of a covenant brother. You ate my blood, you drank my flesh. You don't eat communion with people and go behind them and stab them at the back. You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it. We don't take each other's wives. You don't covet each other's property. You don't covet that which is. When your brother is having it, you clap and thank God for him. And say, Lord, the same God is good over all that trust him. I believe that one of these is going to be my turn. And guess what? It will roll to your turn. We don't envy each other. We don't become jealous of each other. We don't slander people. We don't slander. You don't hate. Put up that conflict escalator. There is what is called conflict escalator and conflict de-escalator. I don't have the time, but I believe you've got the message. But this, one of the trainings we do, if you look at conflict resolution principles, you will see what escalates conflict is violation of these principles that Jesus did. For example, put it up. The 9 or whatever conflict escalator, so you can see how it goes. Now look at this. Conflict is neither right or wrong. It comes. It's natural. It's often caused by genuine differences in opinion or by some change or a decision which affects some people in some way. Conflict is bad or wrong when it leads to people being attacked or hurt unnecessarily. Differences come up. That's what I'm saying. Offenses come. The handling is where the problem is. Feelings, hurts, resentment, suspicion, anger, bitterness, malice, all of that. It is the feeling element in a conflict that does more damage than even what happened to relationships. I want to say it again. It is this resentment, malice, this feeling, this emotional side of conflict that damages relationship. Remember, all this thing is to protect relationship, but there is a final limit where it breaks. The Bible said, after the church, and the guy won't listen to the church, then that is it. But now, what does more damage is the feeling element. The emotions, the hurts, the bitterness, the resentment, the anger, and all of that. That in some cases, after the real issue has been resolved, the feeling lingers. That's why you see cases where they go and drag family, drag in-laws, tell all kinds of stories. This marriage issue between the husband and wife. Finally, now they forgive each other. They are happy. The in-laws never forget. You see an old woman die. 72. The in-laws come. Tell us what killed our daughter. Are you crazy? Who killed what? So if you want to kill your daughter, we'll wait till she is an old woman. The seed was not sown that year. There has been issues that was raised that have polluted the families. Even the facts, even when the facts are resolved, the negative feeling experience can often linger on and can reignite future conflicts. We judge others by their action, but we tend to judge ourselves by our intention. We say, this is not what I plan to do. This is what. Start making excuses for others. Start looking at, this is not how this guy meant this thing. It may have turned out this way, but I know him. I know him. This is not what he had in mind. This is not how he said it. The words came out this way. Do you know sometimes you even make statement? It comes out, but that's not exactly how you... I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But you take the other man's word exact. But what is you? You said, that's not what I had in my mind. Actually, this is the intention. Start learning to do it for others. That's how to walk in love. Conflict forces us to look for new ways or more effective ways of doing things. If you start discussing now, you will find that there are other solutions. There might be things we might need to adjust. There might be some new ways of actually conflict when handled, when you talk, when you, it leads to a breakthrough in relationship. It leads to a deeper level in relationship. The problem is people store those resentments for long. It goes inside them, root of bitterness. It does damage. One of the core values of this ministry is covenant relationship. You can't survive here as a pastor if you don't learn how to walk in love. You can't. Oh. You can't. The tensions do not disappear when we avoid conflicts. They just go underground and they will surface sometime in future. And sometimes the person might not even do anything serious or might want to. The anger is not what he just did, though. He stored whatever from past. That's why the scriptural recommendation is talk. If you won't talk, forgive. Cancel it. You talk and still forgive after. But the talking helps you have a better relationship after you have forgiven. More issues are resolved. But you don't talk, forgive. But you have not given me opportunity to learn and grow. If you don't talk to me, you have not given me opportunity to improve.